This is the meeting of the regular board meeting for the Lakeland Housing Authority. Today is October the 20th, 2014. The time now is 6:05.
Okay, it's time that we begin October's LHA board meeting. Can you join us for the Pledge of Allegiance? Everyone had a chance to review our agenda. We have an approval for the agenda.
I make a motion that we accept the agenda as it is.
Okay, I second it. You don't have to all in favor, right?
You have a second, you have a motion on the floor.
Okay.
I'll call the roll while
she's
out.
Yes,
Commissioner Sanders?
Aye.
Commissioner Smith?
Aye.
Commissioner Robinson?
Aye.
Commissioner Hall?
Aye.
Commissioner Pennington?
Aye. Okay, agenda is approved. Now, has everyone had a chance to review the minutes of our regular board meeting on September 29th? Move the approval of the minutes. Okay, we have a second.
Second.
Ms. Sanders.
Okay, any questions? Any discussion? Okay, roll call.
Commissioner Pimentel?
Aye.
Commissioner Hall?
Aye.
Commissioner Robinson?
Aye.
Commissioner Smith?
Aye.
Commissioner DeSessa? Commissioner Sanders?
Aye.
Okay. Minutes are approved. Now we're up to item number 3, public forum. Did we have anyone sign up for the public forum?
They're doing it right now.
We got a time clock. We're going to tick down from 10, and if you don't have it done, it's just going to scroll. That's a joke. She'll take that serious.
I'm not this
low. Okay. Okay, we're going to... Do you want to wait, see it, or do you want to move on?
You can let them talk. You can fill it out after she talks.
Okay, no problem. Oh, yeah. Why don't you talk and just have it filled out afterwards?
Okay, I have a question. How you doing?
State your name for the record, please.
My name is Shakia Young. I'm the resident advisor for Washington Oaks in the senior building. I'm here today with some concerns about, I guess, some of the people that have been let go in the programs that are no longer here. One of them is one that Ms. Linda Willis was over, the FSS program, I think it was. Being at that program, she is gone. Who is going to take her place? And for myself, I was enrolling into that program on November the 1st. And I think this young lady was graduating during that time. So we want to know, like, where do we go? Who do we report to? Like, what's going to happen with that? My other concern was in reference to Mr. Earl. I don't know. I know you guys had cuts that you had to make. But I think his position, out of any position that you cut, is absolutely the most position for us residents. We have nobody now. Especially for me. Mr. Earl has helped me since I have been in public housing, and I'm exiting on my way out. There is nobody that we can go to now that we can, as far as residents concerned, with our issues and concerns without overwhelming someone who y'all just give the position to and say, here, do this. So that's my two concerns that I have.
Okay. You can.
Good evening. My name is Judith Higgins, and I'm the resident for Carrington Place, a.k.a. Dakota Apartment. And pretty much my concern is basically the same thing that she's saying, but I do have the residents that I deal with, we don't have anybody to help me deal with the resident. And I was trying to, I know that y'all have a budget cut, and I know that we're losing a lot of, y'all losing a lot of staff, but as I read some of the HUD plans, and I noticed that we're having difficulty about getting our units fixed on time because y'all have cut so many of the staffs down. You have like 7 maintenance people, and for what I read in HUD's book, from HUD's, it says for every 50 units, it's supposed to be a staff work. So if you got 1,200 units, you only got 7 people. I put in a work order 3 weeks ago. Our work order is still not fixed. And it's been difficult in our area because of that the staff, that y'all staff is being lower. And people come knocking on my door saying the air conditioning is broke, water is dripping, all of that. So I'm trying to explain to them what Mr. Ben Stevens explained to me. But it's beginning to be hectic now because I work and they come knocking on my door way wheezing in the morning, having me to call the maintenance person, the emergency person to come in to see can they fix it. They come, then they don't fix it for them. So, and then with the resident, like she explained, Linda Willis was the only person besides Mr. Earl cared about the residents. No one else comes in and help the residents but those two that I've seen since I've been there 12 years out of the whole staff in and out. And now I've worked with some of the seniors. They're complaining that they have nobody there. Mr. Earl, they're concerned about Ms. Dodd. One of our commissioners, they talk to me. I have about maybe three seniors, and they're talking about they're not getting the feedback that they had before, and they're like upset. So I don't know what to tell them, so I thought I'd throw it at y'all. Because I'm not paid on y'all staff, I just be a representative. But my heart goes out to them when I go to their house and they sit down and share with me who's the resident service over the community home. I thought we supposed to have a resident service on site from back when I was on Laura. So I'm asking, where do I go and who do I tell? Okay. What do I say?
Do you want to handle that? Or do you want to get
sure. As I told Ms. Pagans when she spoke with me, that Ms. Linda Willis, okay, was going to be, you know, just to the end of the year, she'll be back in January, and that during the interim, that Brenda and I will be taking over those duties. We will start attending the resident meetings, and if they have questions, they'll call the office.
When are your residents' meetings?
We don't have them. We haven't had them. They were supposed to be set up by Mr. London Willis. We haven't had a resident service meeting since, I think, August. Not August. I think the last one we had was July, somewhere up in July.
September.
But
we're talking two things.
I'm talking the Resident Service Council meeting. That's what I was asking.
Well, we don't have, like I said, the Resident Council, the Resident Advisory Board.
Okay.
The last meeting was last month. We actually had, I think, 2 meetings in September with the Resident Advisory Board. Okay. And then those were going to be quarterly. And then there are meetings at the properties each month. And it's my understanding that those meetings are still going on at the property. Sometimes combine 2 or 3 properties, you know, for 1 meeting. Different month and it goes to different properties. And they have, like, a agenda sign-in sheet and a minute summary for each of those meetings.
Is there a large attendance at that meeting, or do you find that it's just staff?
It's mostly the residents, the people who are on the actual board, and Ms. Linda would come and Mr. Earl would come, but they are no longer here, so it's like our direction has been taken away from us, so now we're looking for direction.
When is the next meeting?
I'll send the schedule. But,
you know, is it in the evening and during the day?
The properties are in the evening. The meeting with the advisory board, those are during the day.
Okay, you know, because that. Let me know when the next meeting is, and I'll be there to sit there in your meeting. And whatever you want to say, I when we had the residents committee, I used to be on that committee, and I would go to every one of them. So I'm happy to be at your attend your meetings, and you can come to me. That's what I'm there for. That's what this board is there for. But most of all, you can always come to me.
But now they feel like they let down. I mean, I guess they by them being in office, they don't see if they don't come out to visit them. Or I mean, I you know, to me as a resident myself, if you don't see their faces that's in this office, it's an issue because they're gonna do what they want to do, and then when they do see someone come out, they're gonna be like, oh, they're nobody. So it's like. To me, it's just only me, and I'm not trying to make nobody feel bad, but I feel bad because when they come knock on my door, wee hours in the morning, and then they talk about it when I address it to them. Okay, if you don't walk the site and don't do nothing, then you don't show your face to the tenants, what are they expected to do? Now, I could not, and I'm not trying to make it look good or bad for Earl or Miss London. I had a problem with Earl, but Earl started showing his face. Now, Miss Linda, I'm on my side, I'm always trying to do something for the kids and the residents. So now it's like nobody feels like they care what goes on. They're tearing up the place because they're not showing their faces in the building.
Well, you know what? The board cares and the staff cares, and I will get out there. Believe me, if I tell you I'm going to get out there, I've been on this board, I don't even remember when I started, I think over 3 years, and a lot of the residents know who I am because I was always out there. Funny thing with me is I stopped hearing concerns from the residents because when I was always out there, they would always come to me with things. And I said, what's going on? No one tells me anything anymore, but it's probably because I'm not out there anymore. So I'll get out there. Believe me, if I tell you I'm going to get out there, I'll get out there. But our staff does care. They are concerned. Unfortunately, we are suffering through massive cuts. And Earl is an awesome person. Earl is, he's one of the most amazing people in this organization. So I know what you're talking about. He is caring, he's concerned, and he does it with a smile on his face. You know, he's never bothered, never angry. You can come to him with anything, and Earl is always there to help. You know, well, we're here to help. We're always here to help. Don't feel that we drop the ball or we let you go and we don't care about you. We're not going to let our properties be deplete and degenerate. No, we're not going to allow that to happen. So if we got to take walks there and see everyone and talk to everyone, happy to do that. But don't ever feel that they're not. It's just he's overwhelmed, she's overwhelmed, he's overwhelmed with the limited staff we have. But we're going to make do. And like I said, you can always come to me. You can, if my email is easy, chairman@thelakelandhousing.org. And that's just the board email that I have access. Anything you want to say, anyone that wants to send a gripe, a compliment, a comment, send it to us. But no one should be knocking at your door, and I hope it's not like 3 o'clock in the morning or nothing.
She's very involved in her community. No. I see her a lot walking with the children.
Just if you have to put a sign on your door, please don't knock. I have to go to work. You know.
I mean, but I'm not like that. And I understand what you were saying. It's got to be emergency for them to do it. It has to be.
We have an emergency 24-hour number. If you have to post that number on your door.
I do, and that's what I tell them. But every time I call Miss Judy, they do not answer. Okay, then I say, okay, then as soon as they walk away, I call. And then I just say, we have a problem here. And then the person will contact the red, Miss Judy. I say, they will come. It's not like I'm saying that they're not doing their job. I know it's a gripe. I know it's an issue in the housing authority. I do know that. And with my limitation, I can only tell them so much. You know what I'm saying? So I just try to explain to them. But my just concern about who cares about the resident. And like you saying, I'm not saying they don't care. But if you're in this office and don't come out and let people see who you are, then that's the issue.
And I understand, and I wish they could do that more, but
and that's the
issue. They are inundated with work. Work trying to just keep us going, to make us successful, make us succeed, to make sure you have that safe and clean housing that you deserve. And these poor people, I mean, look at me. Like she just said, I had more hair when I started here. Soon I'm going to lose my eyebrows. You understand? But I promise you, I will be out there.
Well,
matter of fact, I will be out there this week.
Okay, and I'm
so you tell me,
it,
you tell me a good day to come
out.
They're
not doing their job. Let me correct myself. I'm not saying they're not doing their job.
They're just not visible.
They're just not visible, no. That's what I'm saying. And then this step's not just started. Long as they've been here, I can tell you how many times they done walked it. They walked it because they put cameras. They walked because of the tent. And I'm not just saying, but when it becomes an issue, when they come knocking at your door and saying, well, who cares? Then you left after me, then you let the person go that did care. And you know what I'm saying? But I know that has to be a problem. So just I'm asking, just help me. If I'm stepping out on my faith, someone help me keep this one.
And I'll help you. Like I said, what's a good day to come out there this week?
Well, actually,
I'm going to knock on your door at 3 in the morning.
I have a peephole to me. But actually, a good day for me would be like Thursday morning.
Okay.
And what I would do, I would move my schedule around.
Okay. And what time Thursday is a good time?
I'd be in Tampa at 2, so anytime for you.
Okay, I'm going to go out to you. And what property? You're in Carrington?
I'm Carrington.
Carrington. Okay, I'll be out there that morning.
Go ahead.
I know in the past that we've had our meetings at different locations. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering if we shouldn't have those meetings again at different locations since we're having to do these cuts to let the residents know that we do care about them and that we're...
The Emma Turner building is a good place for that because it surrounds everybody.
That was my, remember the take, I took the board on tour thing. We can do that again once it's, if it's okay with them and if it's possible, I'm good with doing it and it was a great idea. And what bothered me about that is so limited participation. We went to every property and so few people showed up. When you had a complete, we would take the entire board to each property. And so you had access to the entire board, not just a committee. And we would have 3 or 4 people in at the meeting. And we're saying,
people don't like coming to meetings because they feel like it's not going to be.
Could I offer a suggestion?
Yes.
Okay. As I said, we've been having the monthly meetings at the property with staff. And I said, like, over the next couple of months, I and Brenda will be attending those meetings. Okay. And as I told Ms. Higgins when she brought up before that people don't see me, I don't stop by her house every time I visit the property. Mm-hmm. You know, and I don't know where you
so that means I need to check the camera.
I live. Do what you feel you need to do, Ms. D.
Can I get a list of your schedule as for when your meeting's going to be?
That's what we don't
they
know.
Were being scheduled by Miss Mr. Earl, and I think his help was Miss Cynthia.
Can I ask you a question, sir? Okay. Earl didn't have anything to do with the scheduling of the meetings at the properties. Mm-hmm. That was talking about property management. Okay. And recently, the only thing that got started was that I assigned Linda to start participating. If there was one or two that she would attend, like I said, with Cecil Dover. Mm-hmm. But I said I won't have to attend all of them, okay? And then due to the budget constraints, they had to stop for 2014. It will start again in January, mm-hmm. okay? And as I told the advisory board previously, the meeting will be quarterly with the resident advisory board because we meet at the properties on a monthly basis. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the reality of the situation is that I can't go to the properties every day. Mm-hmm. You know, even when I want to, I can't because of the demands on the schedule. But I will start trying to make these monthly meetings because they want access to me. Okay? You know, but my thing is this. Everyone wants access to me. They don't want to go to the property manager. They don't want to talk to colleagues. They want to just come straight to me. You know, they don't want to talk to management. They just want to come straight to me. There's a protocol that needs to be followed. And if that protocol fails, then yes, that's where I need to get involved.
Right.
Okay?
Let me ask you this. You're saying the property is being damaged now because there's no one?
I mean, it's like they was like have an enforcement. Like when Cassandra Davis like was there, she was like enforcing a lot of stuff. But now it's like it's no one is there. And I'm always working up. Okay. So I try my best to do. I just give up.
Do you see further damage can be had or happen between now and the time we start back meeting with the residents in January?
Yeah, if I open my mouth.
I mean, if further.
If I come out and just say, look, I have to voice my opinion around the property out there, and they'll listen to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like if I see the kids standing up on top of the bathroom, if I see them throwing paper, or even if I see anybody fighting, if I see something illegal, mm-hmm. I call the police, whatever. Mm-hmm. But now, it's like, I'm at that point. Why waste my time when no one else cares?
So you see possible a lot of damage between now and January when you start back? Damage to the property.
The only thing they can do now is really tear up the playground. And like I talked about that fence, mm-hmm. they keep shaking that fence. They're going to slide right through there. And then the housing authority is going to have a lawsuit because it's not steady. And that's the only thing I can really see them tearing up. They got the cameras now that when they was taking the air conditions,
mm-hmm.
they have the cameras, so now they're not taking that. The only thing we have now, people throwing trash everywhere, and it's like in the back, so I suggest that maybe we could get a fence around it. So they had nothing hadn't came out yet. I don't know, the vet didn't talk about it, whatever. But now that's the only thing now that, like I say, they can tell. The cameras are there, so they're pretty much afraid.
Right.
They, you know, they can see a lot. So they, it's a lot has been cut down. Not like the dogs that's in the house. The only thing that, like I said, the kids do now, they may turn the garbage can over. Then when I come on the porch, somebody say they go Miss Judy. They are picking back up and put the stuff back in. You know, and then when other people comes out there to work with the kids,
mm-hmm.
somebody may say, here come Miss Judy. Somebody might have just, they might be standing up on top if they can just bam down or something. Then they say, someone say, here come Miss Judy. Then they get them down. Then I have to go and, you know, go and talk to them. Okay, you got someone on your site. Come on, let's show respect.
Mm-hmm.
We have people come out there work with these kids every week. Mm-hmm. And it helps, but it does, like I said, I just get frustrated because it seems like I'm doing it and I don't have help. And I'm not putting anybody down. That's just how I feel.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not to take it out on nobody. So, Mr. Bean, I hope you don't feel like I'm trying to take nothing out on you. That just me. That's how I feel. I'm up here now. Instead of me being on the level, I'm up here. I'm just ready to just say, y'all can have this. But if I don't do it, who will?
Well, then, like I said, the first step to that is let me get out there on Thursday, and then I will attend the monthly meetings just to let them know that we are available to them. Can always come to us with, but he is absolutely right. There is a protocol. It goes to the property manager. There's a level it goes to.
I tell them that.
And you know, and we'll reiterate. We'll strain that with the. I try to just get them to understand. Go to this person. Go to this person. Go to this person. Not to
bother. Oh, that's how I tell all my people. I tell them. I say start from the property manager first. Mm-hmm. If the property manager don't do their job. Then you go find whoever's over them. If he don't do their job, then I tell them to call Miss Brenda, and she will relay the message to Mr. Bean. If you went through all those channels, I don't just tell them to go to Bean.
Okay.
I know the steps.
thank you for bringing it to our attention.
Just one question. At the monthly meetings, do we take minutes?
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
And where did the minutes go?
They are maintained in the file.
Who reviews the minutes?
No, I do.
And is a lot of these things that she's mentioning in the minutes?
You may see. I'll send them, you know, to everybody.
Well, there's two things I'm getting at. The minutes will tell us how many people attend the meetings.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, I mean, if the residents are really concerned, they'll tell us how many people attend.
Yeah. We have meetings that nobody attends.
But the minutes will tell us that.
That's fine. Because all of that are going to say is like, you know, we have a general agenda, a sign-in sheet, and then we do, like, say, a meeting summary. Because basically it's the same at each meeting. And if there's something different, like they have a guest speaker on that, and use an attachment to the minutes. And so that's maintained in the file.
Well, my point is that if anything that the residents think that is important, it should be brought to the meeting, and it should be recorded in the minutes. Right. So when we review the minutes, then mm-hmm. we will be able to know what action to take.
Well, the resident meetings we have, they don't take minutes.
The very last meeting that we had in September, I was there, and I voiced my concerns over the issue because this is when they told us that which programs was leaving. So we never knew Mr. Earl nor Ms. Linda was leaving because they were still there. We was told that their programs had been saved. So a lot of this is just coming about.
Okay.
It's not that it's been going on so long as far as I'm concerned, but it's just like, now what do we do?
Okay.
So that should be there in those minutes because I know I voiced my opinion.
Okay.
Can I respond to that?
Yes.
Okay. You know, with the Brother Advisory Board, as you all know, we've been working with them for several months, and they've been changing things, okay? And we advised, you know, them that there were some changes coming. And we still have FSS, just some of the staff is changing. But we got a new grant that starts in January. We still have FSS on the public housing side and on the Section 8 side, okay? It just, like I said, our staff was changing. And then even with the change that we had, you know, one thing we're going to look at is, like, say, doing a contract for resident services because we had to do staff cuts, okay, because we were spending too much on admin dollars. And so, and with that money that we had to pay back to public housing, some of that could be used for resident services. It just has to be done through a contractor. Okay. And,
well, Mr. Bean, I thought y'all told us that Linda Willis, when the last meeting, well, Ms. Valerie made it clear to us that the FSS coordinator had, it was grant money there for us to continue on with.
Yeah, it is a 2014 grant. The problem gets into, we got to get through the end of the year, and there's not enough money. If you were just talking about salaries and you had something else to pay fringes, it'd be one thing. But with salary and fringes, it's not enough to get through the end of the year. And HUD has forced us into a break-even budget before. I'm going to tell you what we did, frankly. And that is, even though you had a shortfall, this agency kept the person on payroll and dealt with the shortfall. Well, that shortfall didn't go away. It just grew into what was owed back as part of this $5 million. HUD is not allowing us to do that anymore. So as soon as a grants program funding runs out, either we have to do a layoff, and then when the new grants start, bring the position back on, or before the grant expires, we have to say we got to look at other sources of funds that will pay for salaries. The problem is we've had community supportive services people actually going after grants, but because of all the bad press that people get, because when you're talking about paying for administrative salaries, well, you remember the muscular dystrophy and other organizations got in trouble because they paid so much for admin costs. So there are a lot of grants that the CSS employees would go after, but they want to put their money towards the program actually impacting the individual, not necessarily salaries. So the problem that we're facing, that we're trying to balance now, is that we have the ability to find someone who will actually cover salaries, and that's what you're experiencing. Until we can bring Ms. Willis back on payroll in January or February, the first part of the year, because I'm going to be frank with you, HUD made set up the grant for January, but they may not actually put the money in the electronic system for line of credit system that we draw down from until February. So until that actually happens, what's happening is other staff, like the property management staff, they have resident services requirements. Just because you have a tax credit property and it has a LORA, they have obligations, they're going to have to fill in that gap until we can get to January or February. Since Mr. Stevenson knows that the budget is tight and staff is stretched thin, he's willing to come out, him and Brendan, and help fill that gap until we can get to January and February. And then as far as the budgets with the Resident Advisory Board, did build in money to the 2015 budget, but it'll probably be like March of next year before I know that it's approved and that the money is set up for what we put. So we did take your feedback from James from the September meeting, and we tried to balance out and spread the money between the different areas where you had concerns, but we won't actually have approval until probably about March as far as funding to kind of get the Resident Advisory Board in a position where they can go to training because the money's there, and then actually help us work towards going after other CSS grants. So things that you guys talked about is you wanted to have resident businesses, you wanted training, you wanted to get a 501c3, you wanted the ability to help us go after grants. I put it in the 2015 budget as part of the agency plan, but it'll be next year before I know whether or not they accept that budget or if they're going to require revisions. So if you just bear with us, we'll be in a position. It's going to be hard for everybody, but we'll be in a position in January, February to go back to somewhat normal operations. Somewhat normal.
Is that the end of the year for us? January, I mean, February, December, the end?
Fiscal
year. Okay.
We call it fall calendar.
Okay. Thank you. And thank you for bringing that to our attention. Now we're up to item 4, old business recovery and sustainability plan.
I guess the committee could be available first and then I'll be my part.
It's just we've been reporting the last few months that the recovery committee has been meeting regularly with the staff and with the executive director, going over the plan that was drafted and the budget. HUD has been in and reviewed things that they have. For instance, as you know, we submitted a 10-year plan. HUD says no, it has to be a 5-year plan. We said we're going to not touch any of the cash on hand. HUD says no, we have to move $1.1 million of that into the cash into the account, the public housing account. We've looked at the budget, as you've heard already, that we've had to reduce staff. We've made some cuts in areas that we didn't want to make cuts, but we've had to, in order to come up with a balanced budget to satisfy HUD, we had to be able to adjust the budget. So we finally, at a last meeting, we came up with what we feel is the reasonable approach to a plan and to come up with a budget that would be acceptable by HUD. The committee feels very comfortable at this point that it's not just a budget on paper. It's a budget that we'll be able to really attain. We did not want to be tempted to put down something we knew that they would accept but not being able to make it happen. Commissioner Smith and I have been working over it diligently and praying on it, and we now feel as though that we have an acceptable plan to bring to the committee, which is included in your package. And our recommendation is that we go forward with the plan and submit it to HUD. And we feel very comfortable at this point that some of the feedback we've been getting, that it's probably will be a plan that HUD will accept. And then we have the responsibility of making sure that it happens.
It works.
Yeah. Okay. Commissioner Smith, you
said it well.
So our recommendation to the full board is that we approve the budget and the recovery plan as prepared now to be submitted.
Okay.
Okay. And I don't know. I know it's a further. It's a resolution further down. So if you want to deal with it, then we can deal with it then. Or you can
I just want to do one thing. One day the resolution that's for the budget. What if y'all would do say a motion for me to submit the recovery and sustainability plan to her, give me authorization to do that. Just a motion to do that.
Well, I would then, as the chairman of the committee, make a motion that we that the board accepts the recovery plan and authorize the executive director to submit it to her.
Okay, that's second.
Okay. Mr. Robinson, second.
Roll call.
That's second.
That's roll call.
Roll call.
Yeah.
Commissioner Pimentel?
Aye.
Commissioner Richardson?
Aye.
Commissioner Hall?
Aye.
Commissioner Robinson?
Aye.
Commissioner Smith?
Aye.
Commissioner Sanders?
Aye.
Okay. And accepted. And that was...
That was to accept the plan
and
have them submitted. Now, the budget is the budget. We can, if you want to wait, to bring it up now.
Let's work on the budget resolution.
Carlos. Rosaro.
Well, I have four resolutions today.
No, you don't. Just going to do the budget.
The budget.
Right,
the budget.
Just budget.
Do the budget.
1391.
Resolution 14-1391.
You know how hard it is for me to, you know, to go through. So yeah. I thought I was going to speak once.
Yeah. No, we're just going to do.
You're seeing the tab behind the resolutions. That's the same budget that's included with the plan.
Right.
With the seven, there's one form that has to be signed by the chairman. Mm-hmm. And so when you approve the resolution, you basically approve the budget and give the chairman authorization to sign that form.
How does that budget differ from the one Governor Richardson just brought up?
It's the same budget.
So we've already approved it then.
We approved the plan.
Plan.
So you authorized the plan.
Right.
But there has to be a resolution for the budget.
Right.
Okay. There's a motion for the plan.
And that's what Carlos is going to present right now.
Yeah.
You got to send me the training.
For the 2015 budget for AMP1 and all the budgets, including Renaissance and Carrington Place, even though they're not here because the board doesn't approve those budgets, it's under a different owner. The LHA, they don't own those properties. So.
Right.
I was able to add money for resident services, specifically for the resident advisory board to be able to work or to be more involved with resident services. So I was able to actually add, you know, funding so they can become 501c3 and they can have their own activities, their own monthly meetings. So that's going to help us satisfy the need that the resident have. So I was planning on meeting with you guys soon to discuss the budget and the money that you're going to have available so we can work together. So, but you jumped the rope.
Jumped the gun.
Oh, but I don't like killing people like that.
Well, it's not
slow.
We're working.
Well, with that,
and what we'll try to do, we'll try and set up a meeting next month to meet with the rally.
Oh, that's awesome.
Before we get started with the holidays and all that.
So between the property budgets and the capital improvement budget, we've got resident training, not just job training, but also technical support to the revisory board, but we've got to get to 2015.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So what he's telling us now is not going to be active until
15.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Right.
And also, I was going to replace the playground, but then the termites came, and I had to get rid of the termite, which was a lot of money, too. So sometimes you have to decide between playground or termites.
Yeah.
So, any questions on the budget?
No. The termites came.
You got the
termites.
Okay.
They're going to have a lawsuit.
Go ahead.
Carlos, when we had the committee meeting, there's a couple things I brought up, and I don't see the changes in here. There were some months that there were zero budget.
On that zero budget.
On the AMP one.
Yep.
There was...
I remember those changes. They were
COC.
Yeah.
We'll make sure that those...
It's not going to change the total problem.
No, but
it needs to not show zero in any given month for an item.
Right. I remember those are good.
Oh my God!
You forgot to put those
in. If it's a 112 budget, then there shouldn't be any zeros.
We still have your recommendations. Just taking those colors, and before we send it to HUD.
Yeah. On AMP 1, the electricity in April was zero. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The travel was on COC.
And water on the COCC in April was zero. Mm-hmm.
Right.
We need those. In the next month, it doubled up, so we want to get those straightened
back. I apologize.
If you want to make, in the motion, that is predicated upon us making those corrections.
I had the question, too, about the payroll taxes, whether that, because we have the same thing every month of the year, and some of those may not go.
Yeah, it was based on historical, and the numbers came from, so it was accurate. And then I'll make the changes for the utilities.
With those changes, I reckon I move the budget be approved.
A second, resolution 14-1391.
Roll call.
Commissioner Penman-Tell.
Aye.
Commissioner Richardson.
Aye.
Commissioner Hall.
Aye.
Commissioner Robinson.
Aye.
Commissioner Smith.
Aye.
Commissioner Sanders.
Aye.
Okay. Resolution 13 is...
Okay, so what do we do if he hadn't caught that, then it would not have been corrected, would it?
No.
There's no way. So what do we do so that we don't have to try to catch everything before it goes in? It's in the minutes.
It's in two sets of minutes now.
What I'm saying is if he wasn't on top of it, we would have missed it.
Even though
it's in the minutes.
It's not changing the total. If the variance is over 10%, he's got to explain it. So we would have made it harder for ourselves because for that month when it came up, because it was zero and then you had an actual cost in that month, we would have had to do a...
Correct.
The thing is, when HUD looked at it and they saw zero, they may have had a question.
Right.
Before approval.
Right.
We don't want to put any questions in there.
Right.
Make them ask questions if they don't have to.
So what should we do so that won't come up again? I mean, minimize the appearance of such a snake.
We'll make sure that we double check and we follow the instructions of the commissioner.
I'll keep reading.
There you go.
Well, I think just how it happened is that we had identified that in the last recovery meeting and mm-hmm. told them to do it. So mm-hmm. now when it came before us, I'm sure Commissioner Smith, because he's the one that caught it. He checked it right away and found it. So there is a check and balance. Yeah.
And it will be corrected before us a minute. We will check it before we submit it.
Yes. I like this chair, too.
All right. New business. We got any new business?
LHA recovery plan update.
That's it.
No, that's a memo.
Oh, that's yours?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And with the sale of the property for... Auburn Manor. Mm-hmm. I started to upload the disposition application into I just do it online. Have all the information, got the environmental and all that, but there are some technical difficulties that I'm waiting for HUD to fix so that I can finish submitting the application. Hopefully I'll have them finished, tomorrow so I can just go ahead and finish submitting the application. And then we had a recent meeting with the person who's interested in the 10th Street property as well, another positive meeting. And so we feel cautiously optimistic that both of those are going to want to continue to move forward.
And as you know, staff is still within their 45-day review of the separation agreement. And we fully expect everybody to take the full 45 days. And so, and then, as I said earlier, we did get the new FSS grant award for next year, 2015. But again, it'll start at sometime during the January or February next year. And that's pretty much it.
Could I ask you a question?
Yes, sir.
With this grant award awarded for next year, are we planning on bringing in any of the employees back that were laid out this year?
The FSS grant is specific. That's a specific position, mm-hmm. and that's Linda Willis.
Okay, so which grant was Haynes funded through? Haynes funded through?
It was funded through a variety of sources. And I don't like to discuss
okay.
personnel issues, but
okay.
there are some things I need to share with you. I'll be happy to share them with you privately.
Okay. Sounds good. Okay. If it's okay with the board, that's okay.
Yeah. There are certain personnel issues that are just, they don't need to be public record. That's all I mean.
Okay.
Personnel is responsibility is in the hands of the executive director,
yeah.
not us.
Not us.
So, but it's good to know one-on-one. If somebody has a question, they can yeah. certainly ask.
Okay, then we're up to, thank you for that, we're up to item number 5, new business. No new business, pizza parties, monthly reports, monthly reports, financial reports, and grant updates.
I'd love to have a podium here or something, but
there's
next
one right
meeting,
there,
baby, I know,
for
but that's already
like
right
us.
As y'all know, I'm Joe Murphy. I'm the new comptroller, financial manager for the agency. And what I'm doing this month, I've been board about a month, but the first 2 weeks basically out of the office for youth bill training and also just kind of getting the lay of the land here at LHA. So for the last 2 weeks, been working with Ray, and Ray presented the reports last month. And just so you know, I'm continuing with the same format as in prior months. So what has been reported will continue to be reported. Hopefully going into the future, especially with the RIF, we're going to have some additional reporting, some detail, just to make sure that we're always in sync with what we've said as far as our cost-cutting measures and the program to get us back on track for profitability. Start off with, we have the COCC financial here. There is a section in your book for the financials. The other thing that we're going to try to do going forward is this is as of August. And what's happened in the past is you've always been reported, looks like, about 2 months behind. And I'm going to try to work on getting that up to where we are, at least as current as we can, where that, for example, in November, if I'm able to get everything properly closed, I should have an October report for you, so we're reporting virtually current. And I think that would be a major step in being able to identify where we are with our strengths and weaknesses and give a more current picture to the board, to the board, with how well we're doing financially. So that is a goal of mine, and I think it's appropriate to try to be on time with your financials so you can make proper decisions. However, there are some things in the August that we need to discuss, and basically, if you take a look at the COCC, you're going to see that we currently have $20,291 in basically management fees that we receive monthly. And I think you've seen that every month for the last year. You may or may not know the breakdown of it, but basically we're getting about $10,000 from Section 8, $8,800 from the management fees from our public housing properties, and a $1,300 bookkeeping fee from our properties. So that's the $20,291. The $16,000 that is in there under non-federal overhead allocations is actually the forfeits in our 401k plan. All of the contributory plans that we have where that we're matching, if an employee doesn't stay the vested period, then whatever excess we've put into the plan can be recaptured and used to reduce our liabilities in those plans. This is kind of a catch-up of $16,000. It's not going to be that much every month, but in August we did catch it up. So it runs, looks like, about $1,600 with the RIF. We're probably going to have another month where we're going to have substantial amounts come through in November. So you'll probably see little amounts in that category going forward. Under the administrative expenses, we're at $70,000 for the month. Basically comprised of $46,000 in salaries. We had the one-time charge this month of $9,600 for audit fees. Our legal was $9,000. That's primarily relating to the RIF and also some of the other overheads for operations. We had travel of $1,900. That was for a training session in Orlando. And we had a small miscellaneous charge for shredding. I guess we went through and determined we need to get rid of some of the paper that we have here that's sensitive, and we spent $500 on shredding. For the month and the salaries, going back to the $70,000, we did have 3 payrolls this month. So therefore, your expenses are higher by roughly about $16,000 because of that one payroll. Just to point out, and this will be entity-wide, come November, okay, this is 3 months out, but come November, we will have the RIF charges come through. And I think we'll be accruing that expense. But regardless, if we don't, by the end of the year, it will total $91,000 in expenses that we will be using excess cash right now for to cover. That's pretty much the COCC, unless there's any questions. Going to the next sheet, which is the COCC, is the balance sheet. If you notice, we have $49,000 in unrestricted cash. That's certainly available for operations and payrolls. We also have some receivables, and I'll just point those out real quick. We have 21st Century, $77,000. We have closed that grant. We've submitted it. It appears that we will get approximately $40,000 to $45,000, maybe $50,000 of the $77,000 returned to us in cash. We're still waiting for the final number. If we get lucky, we might get the 77, but my understanding it will be short. So we also have the youth bill. We're showing $14,000. Youth bill is a matching grant. It's a matching grant plus a reimbursement grant. So what that means is that as we spend, we get reimbursed. Now, what I'm trying to do now, we used to spend the money, fund it out of our reserves, and then take the drawdown. Because these grants work off of an accrual basis, we can actually draw down the monies once it's obligated. So we can obligate it, not spend it, okay, yet, and we can draw it down and then spend the money. So we can cover those expenditures in advance without having to use available cash from the other ones. We also have the capital fund that Valerie and I will be working on, and we'll be looking at drawdowns there, and also some amounts from Section 8 that we'll be funding over once we have the excess cash. Any questions?
What you're saying is because we're working the accrual system, you can book it, and once it's obligated, but you don't spend it until it comes in, right?
That is correct.
Okay.
So, in the way all the DOE do, the Department of Labor, DOL, and Department of Education grants are, that's the DOEs, we can actually draw down the money once we've incurred the cost, whether it's services or materials or any other supplies. We can draw down immediately to cover those costs, and then once we get the invoice in, then we can go ahead and pay the invoice.
Okay, this is encompassing the money.
Sorry?
The same thing as encumbrancing.
Same as encumbrancing.
Yeah, right.
Encumbrance is a little differently, but obligating means that you've gone out there and you've secured the goods or services, and therefore you have a liability at that time. Mm-hmm. The next report is going to be on our Section 8 department. And what we have there is we have $61,000 in revenue for the month. Of that, about $12,000 was actually from January. We had basically HUD come in and recalculate our percentages of half we were going to be receiving. And so therefore, that's where we got the catch-up adjustment from HUD. Basically, we've got about $44,000 a month now from for administration from HUD, and we also have $4,000 in FSS fees that we are administrative fees that we can collect. The salaries, again, 3 months worth of salary, I mean 3 pay periods worth of salaries. And our total burden there is about almost $70,000, just so you know. And the $12,000 for the maintenance expense, we have some charges in there that are some of them aren't, but they'll go away come November. Actually, they'll go away come October. These are your Section 8 rents where we have the off-site facility. And beginning, I don't know when the last rent payment was for, but I think it was either September, October. But going forward, we won't have those costs. And that's roughly $2,600 a month. For the one-time fees this month, we had $3,600 for the Yardie fee. And that's an annual fee that they went ahead and expensed. It actually could have been spread, but we'll spread it at the end of the year and show it as a prepaid then. But it all hit this month, $3,600. That's a good thing because it made me have the opportunity to bring it up to you, how much we pay for the accounting software for Section 8. We had some consulting fees in there, $1,400. It was basically to Clifton Larson for helping with the VMS. The audit was our big fee in the $91,000. We had $25,000 in audit fees that came through this current month. So, and that's a one-time charge, again, $25,000. If you take the Yardie and the audit fee and the consulting fees, we roughly get to close to break even there in the Section 8 department.
On the maintenance expense again, what all was in that one?
The maintenance expense basically included...
Would that have to do something?
Oh, we didn't quite get there. The maintenance expense included Nova and Annette, I can't pronounce the second name, Associates, which was basically for quality control and inspections in the Section 8 program. And then we also had some consulting fees there as well with IHF, which was Ray's company, and Roma for $7,000. So that's basically where your $12,000 came from. In the $90,000, we had the one-time charge for the $25,000 audit, $3,600 in the Yardie, and the salaries, actually they were $42,000 for salaries and $2,600 for office rent.
Well, some of those things you said didn't sound like maintenance expenses.
They're not maintenance. Those were in administrative costs, $90,000. The $12,000 was primarily the Nova, for the HQS and the inspections for Section 8. And then also the consulting fee for IHF that went through maintenance fees for $7,000.
Okay. So IHF is under maintenance?
Well, that's where it was coded before I got here, so that's where it is right now. It really should be up in administrative under.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'll make that... as long as you don't mind, I'll make that reclassification in August. It will not appear again in the future reports, and then it'll be straight.
Well, one thing we will do is I'll sit down with Joe and we'll discuss format and as well as his presentation to the board.
Any questions on the income statement? Going on to the balance sheet, you'll notice that Section 8 has $74,000 in available cash. Actually sitting down there in cash operating 3, I was going through a reconciliation of the cash for our ports and found that we do have some administrative fees sitting in that area, and they will be reclassed to the administrative, and then unfortunately that was about $60,000. So we actually have $60,000 sitting in cash 3, which is a restricted account, but it will be moved up into your unrestricted account, giving you about $130,000 in Section 8 cash, which is a great thing. Any questions on the balance sheet? Our next one's going to be what's called public housing in AMP 1. I don't know how familiar y'all are with AMPS, but basically it's the asset management program under HUD, and it gave us the opportunity to combine several properties into one property for HUD reporting purposes. This AMP 1 includes your Westlake, your Westlake Edition, and John Wright Homes. So this is actually three properties in one, just so you know.
And Cecil Gober.
So there's four properties actually in AMP 1 that we're reporting as one property. But they're all public housing units. That's the issue. So that there's not a mix of Section 8, project-based, tax credit in here. They're all public housing units that we administer. And when we look at the administrative expenses, we have a one-time charge in there of $22,000 for audit fees. And we have a one-time charge of consulting fees of $41,000. And that's basically your net operating loss for the month. What's the advantage of that? That means that your AMP 1 public housing is at least breaking even for the month, which is a very good thing for most public housing agencies. So Carlos and everyone's doing a great job at managing expenses, collecting the monies, and making sure that they're at least at break even or better. Any questions? Net area?
The 41-2 was to which consultant?
The 41-2 was IHF, which is the consultant we used. Okay. Going into the balance sheet, if there's no other questions.
There's no question.
Yes, sir.
Are there other properties that we manage?
These are properties we manage.
Right. Yes. Are there other properties?
There are in AMP. Is it four?
We manage all of our properties.
All the public housing properties.
Right.
And Joe, I don't want to do a workshop here tonight. Okay. And, you could just...
Yeah, I'm almost done. So
I still got a question here.
Okay.
So then the other properties that we manage... Are they going to be some similar to this kind of printout with AMP 1 or AMP 2?
That's correct. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just to point out on the balance sheet then, $450,000 in cash available in AMP 1. We have not moved to 1.1 yet, so that will increase by 1.1.
That's restricted.
That will be restricted. All of public housing is restricted.
Restricted funds, yeah.
That is correct.
We don't get back in that bag again.
Right. The only thing we are able to get are our management fees.
Yeah, right.
I'm going to kind of go quickly through the limited partners that we have.
One question.
Yes, sir.
On the AMP 1 balance sheet.
Okay.
I know tenant security deposits and net profits goes under liabilities. There's not a separate account for security deposits under the asset side. I guess it's not required, but wouldn't it be good business to separate those funds out so we know what's in operating, is actually available for operating?
Absolutely.
Because
You're
security
exactly right.
deposits are not available for operating.
You're exactly right. Okay. That's obviously with the accounting structure that we have now, it is going to be changing because we've got to meet certain GAAP requirements. That is a restricted cash, should be reported separately.
Yadi will allow you to do that, right?
I'm sorry?
Yadi will allow you to make that
yes, sir.
Separation.
Yes, sir. Yeah. No problem. Again, with the LLPs, I'll just run through them. Most of them, we have a management agreement, but we don't really effectively own the properties. We're just one-tenth of 1% owner. So I'm not going to spend a lot of time on them. Most of them are breaking money or are very close to break even. That's the biggest key, so there's no obligation of the general partner to the property to cover any deficits. You'll see Dakota, slight loss. You'll see Renaissance with a slight loss. Again, with the three payroll period, it's affecting the bottom line there. And whenever I'm talking the slight losses, I'm looking before depreciation. I'm
right.
strictly looking at the cash type activity.
Yep.
We're getting back towards the back. You'll see they're all pretty much making money. They all have substantial money except for Dakota in cash. That's the one we watch very closely.
Change the name, but you don't change this.
the situation.
The finances still look the same.
I'm up to Bonnet Shores. I hope everybody at least to there. I'm keep on going here. I'm up to West Bartow again, scenario with the LLPs. And I am up to the grants. And the other AMPs, they have not been reported currently, but we will start reporting those on a monthly basis for you to review as well. The biggest thing about the grant schedule here is that you see the 1.7, the RHF, and you see that the HOPE 6 is 1.9. That's the 3.6 that's available for development. And as far as the youth builds, having $148,000, we will not be expending all that. There's a substantial amount of money still sitting in some of the employee benefits that was over budget for the grant. And we're just not going to be able to spend all of that by the grant period end. Pretty much the end of my report. If y'all have any further questions.
Is that a bad thing?
No, it's not for me.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, we're up to get the care of the grant updates also. We're up to housing. I'm looking at it. I had to point that I'm just not saying it. We're up to the housing report. Is that you again? As written?
Mm-hmm. Do you have any questions?
Any questions on the housing report?
One question, one comment. On the leasing and the lease up and movers, you had 18 transfers. Is that a normal amount of transfers? Or is there some? Is that a...
Oh, I'll let the devil on you because the colleagues comment on that one.
What's that?
I'll let that that's unusual, but we'll let him comment on that.
I would think it would.
Section,
yeah.
Right above the active client section.
Oh, for section A is normal. These are people that are moving from one house to another, and with section A every year you have few move outs and moving, so they transfer from. So for section A, it's usually, especially that we have 1,300 families, it is a really minimal number of families.
Okay, so that's the voucher program.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But those count as transfers?
What it actually means, they move from one unit to a new unit. It's not a transfer. It's a transfer
loss. Okay. Mm-hmm. I got you.
Is the way that we classify them.
The comment was, I see we had... five people that no longer needed Section 8 assistance, and that's good. Mm-hmm.
I know we, at the last meeting, didn't we talk about that we're advertising more now that Section 8 is open?
We're planning on opening. We're not sure if we're going to do a...
It will probably be for the beginning of the 2015 because what we're doing is depleting the...
Yeah,
what we did was we awarded some people a voucher, but we did not take any new applications.
Right.
Because basically you got to address the ones who are on the waiting list. We got people on the waiting list for years. And so when we opened up section, that's what we did. We basically gave some vouchers to the people who are on the waiting list.
And basically, before we advertised to get new applications, I wanted to give the people that have been waiting for 5-7 years the opportunity to receive a voucher before we bring new people in. So
this includes for housing residents that have been on the waiting list, and because of the preference point system that we have, they have only been kept at the bottom of the waiting list, but now they have given the opportunity to receive a voucher.
Okay. Well, I noticed my son's playing soccer now, and he's been practicing out at Duff Field. And so I'm driving out there to take him to practice, and I'm seeing these advertisement signs from these people saying Section 8, you know, all this. And I'm not thinking that's coming from us. I'm thinking that's coming from these people, renters out there that are trying to. I just don't want us to get mixed up into that.
No. Well, one of the things that we are not allowed to steer families, so that's a violation. So
I'm concerned that they're advertising, maybe doing something to hurt us.
No.
You should see in New York how they do it. The newspaper is full of Section 8 apartments, Section 8 apartments. That's all you'll see in the newspaper, that and Trump Plaza. Okay. We're up to, are you finished?
Yes, sir.
Oh, amazing. Now we're up to development report.
There's no development report this month. Not. Development spent all their time doing the agency plan and it submitted on Friday, October 17th, and unfortunately had to suck in like Carlos and Joe. So that's why Carlos missed making some of your changes, because agency plan had to get in.
Okay. We're fine with us. For this time. Next time, you're in trouble. resident services report.
When you have the youth bill graduation and so forth, can we know about those things in advance so maybe some board members can show up and show the interest, you know?
Yeah, that's my fault, because staff wanted to notify you guys. But they told me about a day before the ceremony, you know, when it's more than two commissioners, that the public will notice it.
If we're not having a meeting, whatever.
If I see you in Publix, I run the other way. And I'm serious about that. I'm serious. I don't want to see none of your in Publix.
Maybe graduation, you know, we'll try and do it in time so that I can publicly notice it, you know, so that we can send it out to the commissioners. And as I'm sure you know that the mayor and two city councilmen showed up.
Yeah.
But y'all have to probably notice when everybody jumps. So, it's just you guys.
But they're in Sunshine, too, and they all got there.
Yeah, but they're not part of the board. They're the board. So.
They operate in Sunshine Law, too, and three of them could be there. Why couldn't several of us be there, even without another pair?
That's a good question. We have to tell the city manager about that all the time. But no, I know you're making a point, but I don't control the city.
I'm talking about us, though.
That's why I'll just tell you why I didn't. Because when I found out about it, it was like a day before the meeting, and I didn't have time to publicly notice the meeting. But I have to be responsible for LHA and make sure that we follow the proper protocol. But then officially just start publicly noticing it, so that we'll be covered with the city, the county, whomever.
Because the city does a appreciation thing every year for all the boards and commissions that the city has. And, you know, you see everybody there and everybody's together.
It actually is posted. And they send out, everyone knows about it in the city about that. So we may all be together, which I didn't go, but it's known, so people know about it. But he's actually right, especially with this board.
Yeah.
You really want to keep within that. There's been so many problems with that Sunshine Law violation with certain commissioners and all. I'd rather him do
that. If I could just add, I would think it's probably more an abundance of caution, not because technically you're probably right. If you're not talking business, it's probably not an issue. But in the abundance of caution, it's probably a good practice.
Ethics.
Yeah.
Because believe it or not, whenever two or more commissioners go to, like, say, NARA, we publicly notice that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes, we do.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's on the advice of legal counsel.
Thank you. Now we're up to item 14-1392.
That's a requirement of HUD, right?
Huh?
Yeah. Is that a requirement of HUD?
Yes.
That we readjust the rates?
The utility allowances, however, We received the study from Housing Authority Services, which is our contractor, and the utility allowances didn't change for 2015. So we're asking the board to approve no changes, but to continue using the same utility allowances.
We have a motion to approve 14-1392. We have a second.
Sanders.
Roll call.
Commissioner Pittman-Pell.
Aye.
Commissioner Richardson.
Aye.
Commissioner Robinson.
Aye.
Commissioner Hall.
Aye.
Commissioner Smith.
Aye.
Commissioner Sanders.
Aye.
Okay, Resolution 14-1392 passes. Now we're up to Resolution 14-1393.
The Resolution 14-1393 is to, we're requesting approval of the contract with Annette Machuca and Associates to provide housing choice voucher and public housing recertification services. Basically, due to the RIF, we're having to contract the case management services out with the contractor. So they will be replacing all the case workers in Section 8, and also they're going to be helping with the public housing recertification services and yearly certification.
Okay. Is there anything in there if they, as far as their submitting the voucher submissions and the penalties if our score drops below 95%?
The peak submission is still going to be our responsibility.
Okay, we're still going to be doing that. Okay.
I'm sorry, we're still going to be doing casework?
No, the peak submission.
They're going to be doing the casework. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And also they're going to be digitalizing the files. So at one point, no file is going to be paper. Everything's going to be in a computer.
Right.
So.
So we're doing that to save money?
Mm-hmm.
How do we
improve efficiency?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Roughly how much we're saving?
About 80,000.
A year?
Mm-hmm.
A month.
That was a month.
So roughly, how many people are we replacing?
Four. In actuality, everything that they're going to be doing based on the same calculation that HUD uses, ratio between one employee times 300 mm-hmm. cases, mm-hmm. is going to be about six positions. But you're replacing four, they were trying to do what six people were supposed to do, and it wasn't working. So it's saving money, plus we're hoping the services are going to be better.
I know you say you don't want to do a workshop, but these four people that's being replaced, are they being put somewhere else, or are they just going to be out?
That's one of the requirements of the RIF. They have to leave the agency. That's what I give them, the package of the separation agreement. Just to clarify, when I say don't want to do a workshop, I'm talking to staff. Commissioners are always free to ask questions.
Y'all need to send me on another training so I can get some more of the stuff, because she said something that I didn't fully understand. She said FSS.
Family self-sufficiency.
I know what that is. Yeah, I was going to ask her later.
Yeah, family self-sufficiency.
Okay.
Yeah, because you have FSS under Section 8 and public housing. Mm-hmm. And one of the reasons that that's a simple issue for Ms. Hayden is that she's graduating next month from the FSS program. And I assure her
that
we will take care of her.
Go get that big check.
Yeah. So she has a vested interest in the
One question. How do we arrive at this company?
We interview first.
Procurement college.
Yes, we went through the procurement. We asked five companies to submit a proposal. We asked more than five.
Okay, that's all I wanted to know. Yeah. I didn't want it to look like a sweetheart deal.
Oh, no.
Okay. I move that we approve the Resolution 14-1393.
I second it. Roll call.
Commissioner Pittman-Town?
Aye.
Commissioner Richardson?
Aye.
Commissioner Hall?
Aye.
Commissioner Robinson?
Aye. Aye.
Commissioner Smith?
Aye.
Commissioner Sanders?
Aye.
Okay, Resolution 14-1393 passes. We're up to item number 7, Secretary's Report. There's only three of you.
No, there's a
walk-in. You got another one?
Walk-in.
You got a walk-in?
We don't do walk-ins. No, this is not the ER.
You're welcome. That
was good. Where is it? Where is it?
Give me time.
Well,
Brenda's passing out the walk-on.
Thank you. Welcome.
Yeah, Ms. Hagen had a question about the playground equipment. I was looking in the 2014 budget. The termite protection came in cheaper than what was anticipated by the budget. So, no, I'm just stating for the record so that she knows that we're going to follow through with what I told her on the side. Is that I'll take that cost savings, make an amendment, and spend the difference on the playground equipment since it's a safety hazard. It may be that we have to demo it because there's not enough money to replace it necessarily with something new, but we can make it a safe condition so we don't have to worry about lawsuits. So I just wanted to state that for the record so you have it in the minutes and it's not just me stepping, pulling you to the side saying that we'll do that. Brenda will make sure I do.
And before we demo, we also need to talk to Florida House.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Resolution 14-1394, we're asking the board to approve the landscaping contract with basically Westlake Management. So it's we're bringing the landscaping in-house, one, to save money, second, to be able to keep some employees the in-house, so we don't have to include them in the RIF, and also to save money through doing these services in-house or providing these services in-house.
So Rodman is considered an in-house.
No.
That's
the contract.
They are the current contract.
I know. Well, that's the point I'm getting at. You're saying previously outsourced and now provided in-house. Mm-hmm. So who's doing it in-house?
Westlake.
Westlake.
So wait, that's what I'm saying. So Rodman is under Westlake?
No. Rodman and Robin are on Sky 21st tomorrow.
Yeah, now they're going to in-house.
Rodman expired.
I know who he is. I'm just wondering how it ties in with an in-house service.
His contract expires.
What he was trying to do was just show you that they're the current contract.
Oh, it expires. I got it. Okay. Yeah. Okay. That's why it's a walk-in.
Yeah. That's why it's a walk-in. You see? We don't do walk-ins. That's it.
And this is going to cover salaries, equipment purchase, and maintenance.
Yes, sir.
Upkeep.
For what period will this cover?
For 1 year, from October 21st to October 20th, 2015.
How much do we save by doing that? Do you know?
Well, we save in that we're keeping employees.
Of course.
Employees, so that's basically the biggest saving. And also that we don't have to deal with the contractor if they don't want to do something or they feel it's basically... and also the money is going to help LHA to provide services in other areas too. Okay.
How much equipment are we going to have to purchase?
$10,000 in equipment. Well, we already have equipment, but we need to add more equipment. Because we have been servicing the Lake Ridge Homes, Colton, and Bonnet. So we have been servicing them for over a year now.
Okay, so we're purchasing $10,000 more of equipment to service these areas, but it's only a 1 year contract and not more?
Well, the management agreements, because again, you're looking at when you have the third party investors. And it's not our property. They don't allow us to go beyond a year. So they want all their contracts set up for a year. And then you can go month to month till you get someone else. But they do that to ensure that we have the most competitive rates. And if we're going to provide the service in-house, they want to know that we're forced to go out every year to procure to make sure that it's the best rate. So all of, if you look at all of the mixed income communities, whether it's Dakota, Renaissance, Colton, Bynum, and West Bartow, the investors have added language that we can't contract for more than a year. And then you go month to month in the event that you have an emergency and can't get another contract in place within the year, but we wouldn't be able to, we would have to go back to the investor and renegotiate that. And that's just been typical in the boilerplate for this agency, and it is industry standard on other deals that I've seen. So I don't, having an option to do another year is not written into any of those contracts.
Okay, these companies, places here, they provide us with the maintenance, not maintenance, a management agreement fees, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
This is in addition to that.
In addition.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so other than the $10,000 for additional equipment, do they have the capacity to get the equipment from one place to another?
Yes, sir.
They have the trailers and everything?
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Okay. That they won't be coming back asking for that? Okay.
Yeah. And we have enough employees already to handle this job?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Already on hand.
Mm-hmm. Well, during the high season, we have to hire some seasonal employees, but during low season, then we can do it with the employees that we have. So,
one more question.
We'll probably look at hiring residents during that time.
Oh, okay. Okay, that would be good. Okay. That would be good. You grab that out of my mouth. I knew you don't want to do
it.
Do a workshop. Well, you see where I'm going. As long as we keep these everybody working, we're pretty much happy.
Yeah. And again, we did look at it, and it's just more cost efficient for us because of our current situation, mm-hmm. for to bring that service in-house.
Okay.
You know, so.
Okay. Thank you. Well,
do they cut yards, boards yards?
For a fee. $500 a month.
We can always use the extra income.
You say you need a motion for this?
Yeah. Have a motion to...
Oh, boy.
I have a motion to approve 14-1394.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, roll call.
Commissioner Pimentel?
Aye.
Commissioner Richardson?
Aye.
Commissioner Hall?
Aye.
Commissioner Robinson?
Aye.
Commissioner Smith?
Aye.
And Commissioner Sanders?
Aye.
Resolution 14-1394 passes. We're up to Secretary's report. Legal report?
No report, Commissioners. Mr. Gilmore apologizes for not being here. He had to be out of town. So
okay. Was that 10 words?
We didn't miss him.
Was that 10 words or stop it?
No charge.
Do we pay for laughter? No.
That's charged.
We're up to item number 9, other business corrective action plan. We already discussed it.
All right.
Then we're up to item number 10. This meeting is adjourned.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good night, everyone.
Meeting adjourned at 7:35 p.m.
It's called budget cuts.
That's right.
Don't you remember? Were you here for that many?